This is Andrea Maravich from the Pennsylvania Child Welfare Resource Center, and we are back with another podcast installment with our colleagues at the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh of UPMC. Child welfare professionals have a challenging job. Better collaboration with partners in the field can not only benefit the work of child welfare professionals, but also the work of their partners. More importantly, however, better collaboration benefits the children and families we serve. To that point, I am talking today with Drs. Rachel Berger and Addie Eichmann. Both are child abuse pediatricians at the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh of UPMC, and we are talking about the healthcare professional's role in child welfare cases and how child welfare professionals can better team with these partners. Let's start by talking a little bit about what you do as child abuse pediatricians. Dr. Berger?
So my role as a child abuse pediatrician is to offer expertise about child maltreatment cases. I provide expertise to child welfare professionals, to police, to lawyers, to other physicians, to nurses, to teachers, really to anyone who asks for expertise. There's lots of different kinds of doctors, as many people know. There's orthopedics, there's neurosurgeons, there's radiologists, there's general pediatricians, and each type of physician has a different type of training. Child abuse pediatricians are always trained first as pediatricians and complete all the training to be a pediatrician. And in addition to that, they receive additional training as it relates to child abuse, about sexual abuse, about physical abuse, about neglect, about all different aspects of child abuse. So just as a pediatric orthopedist may be a specialist who specializes in the care of orthopedic injuries in children, child abuse pediatricians are pediatricians who specialize in understanding issues related to child abuse. It's important to understand the different kinds of physicians there are, but also about the different levels of training. So as a child abuse pediatrician, I'm what we call an attending physician. An attending physician is a physician who has completed all of their training in their area of expertise. Within hospitals, there are lots of different levels of doctors. For example, there are medical students. Those are students who are still training, do not yet have an MD or a DO license, and are still learning. And then there are residents. Residents are also physicians in training, but they have a medical license, so they have an MD or DO after their name. But they still have 3 years of training after they get that degree to be able to practice medicine. And then there are fellows. Fellows are physicians who have already completed a residency, but are still receiving training in their area of expertise. For example, a resident who has completed a 5-year training in surgery is now a fellow in pediatric surgery, so they are learning a subspecialty of pediatrics. And then finally, there are attendings. And as I said, these are physicians who have completed all these levels of training. It's important for child welfare professionals to speak with the attendings. Those are the most well-trained people in the hospital and can provide the most accurate information. Unfortunately, the easiest people to sometimes speak to and find in a hospital are those with the least training, the medical students and the residents. Although residents are doctors, they do not yet have the level of expertise or training to make assessments about whether injuries are due to abuse or neglect. So it's very important that child welfare professionals understand the level of training of the person they are speaking with. In addition, it's important to understand what the area of expertise is. If your child has a fracture, the most likely person you're going to look for is a pediatric orthopedist. You probably don't want a podiatrist, and you probably don't want an adult orthopedist. Those people are both very trained to do what they do, but you probably don't want them assessing a 2-year-old with a fracture. In the same way, when we have a child with an injury or potential neglect, we would like the child abuse pediatrician to be the expert that provides the information. In some cases, a general pediatrician, an emergency medicine physician, a family practitioner at the attending level can provide the information that a child welfare expert needs. But they may not be comfortable providing this information and may want expertise with a child abuse pediatrician. In Pennsylvania, we are very lucky. We have more than 10 child abuse pediatricians in the state, where many states have none. Child welfare professionals in our state should always know how to contact their child abuse pediatrician who is closest to where they live.
So we've been talking about the role of physicians in child welfare cases, and physicians are just one kind of healthcare provider. In fact, the Child Protective Services Law defines a healthcare provider as a licensed hospital or healthcare facility or person who is licensed, certified, or otherwise regulated to provide healthcare services under the laws of this Commonwealth. This includes a physician, podiatrist, optometrist, psychologist, physical therapist, certified nurse practitioner, registered nurse, nurse midwife, physician's assistant, chiropractor, dentist, pharmacist, or an individual accredited or certified to provide behavioral health services. There's a lot of variety there, as you can see. These individuals are mandated by law to report suspected child abuse. Can we take a few minutes to talk about the different healthcare professionals and their levels of training, specifically as it relates to child maltreatment?
Of course. So as you mentioned, there are many different types of healthcare professionals, and each has expertise in a specific area, such as physical therapy. It's important to understand that the level of expertise needed to be required or to be a mandated reporter is not the same as the expertise needed to assess a report of suspected abuse or neglect. Each of these healthcare professionals has expertise in their area, but their knowledge about child abuse in particular may be simply what they learned in their mandated 2-hour course, or they may have additional knowledge specific to their specialty. But in general, they don't have the knowledge that is needed to provide a diagnosis of child abuse or neglect. It's the role of the child welfare professional to recognize that a child who is reported to them by a healthcare professional may need further evaluation. For example, a dentist has expertise in injuries in the mouth. They may see an infant in their office with a mouth injury and know from their area of expertise that this injury is concerning for abuse in a child this age. But that dentist doesn't have the expertise to do a complete evaluation of that child, a complete history and physical, something we're going to talk about later. But they do know that they are worried about abuse. And it's the role of the healthcare professional to bring that child to the appropriate healthcare professional for full evaluation.
So when a CPS worker brings a child to a physician for that further evaluation, what types of tests do physicians perform to identify child abuse or neglect?
Well, the most important part of the evaluation is not a test. It's the history and the physical. And when physicians talk about a history, they talk about the past medical history of that child. Are there underlying medical conditions? What was the birth history? Probably most importantly for young children, what's the developmental history? Can this child walk? Can they roll? Can they do the things they would need to do to cause the injuries that they're coming in with? What's the family history? What's the social history? Have they had surgery before? And what is the history of the present illness? What is the explanation for how the current injuries occurred? And then there's the physical exam, which is the complete evaluation of the child, including their weight, sometimes their height or their head circumference, and their complete undressed exam to look for different injuries. And most of the time, that's the only testing that needs to be done. In young children, there are sometimes other tests, for example, the skeletal survey, which are x-rays of all the bones. That is probably the most important screening test that we have, other than the physical exam and the history. Sometimes young children will need imaging of their brain, such as a head CT or a brain MRI. And sometimes we need to do blood work to evaluate for other potential injuries and to make sure that child has no underlying medical condition, such as a bleeding disorder. And sometimes all the testing cannot be done at one time. Just as you might go to your doctor one time with high blood pressure, and the doctor might say, well, I don't know if you have hypertension, you need to come back 2 more times and let's see what your blood pressure is in order for us to tell you whether you have hypertension. An infant may need to come back again, or child may need to come back again for additional testing. The most common additional testing will be a follow-up skeletal survey, so additional x-rays, and sometimes follow-up blood work. While it's certainly beneficial for child welfare workers to have a knowledge of what tests will need to be done and when they will need to be done, the most important thing is that the child welfare professional understands the need for a physician to do a complete evaluation of a child with injuries that are concerning for physical abuse.
Allegheny County is atypical in that Allegheny DHS has 4 child abuse pediatricians and 4 registered nurses available. Dr. Eichmann, could you talk about the role of these healthcare professionals with Allegheny DHS?
Absolutely. So as you pointed out, this is an unusual case, and I think it's very lucky for both the Children's Hospital here as well as Allegheny DHS, and frankly for the kids in the area, that we can work together. So our Children's Hospital does have a formal program called CHECS, but in that program, nurses are embedded in the CYF offices, and they can help caseworkers evaluate children's medical needs and help follow up on that. And as you pointed out, we also have 4 child abuse pediatricians that work here at Children's and work closely with Allegheny County CYF. I think that this is very lucky, as I stated, but in addition to the formal CHECS program, we also have a more informal relationship. And through years of knowing each other and working on our relationships, we feel comfortable speaking frankly with caseworkers and calling the head of intake to talk through particular cases, but also process issues when those come up. And I think it's a very good give and take between both of us, and I think we both learn from each other. And really, all of our goals is to help kids. So that is what we are all aiming to do in our own ways.
Recognizing that Allegheny County is different from other children and youth agencies across the state, how would you recommend child welfare professionals identify and connect with these types of resources within their own counties?
That's a great question. So, as I said before, this is a relationship that's built over years. It's not something that happens overnight. But if a caseworker or a supervisor in a county recognizes that they need help from a pediatrician, for instance, I think that at first it will be trial and error, finding a pediatrician that's local and seeing how much that person is able to help them with that particular case. And obviously, if it goes well, to approach that person later for more help in the future. If it doesn't, that goes with talking with other resources to identify another practice or pediatrician that would be helpful. And clear communication and thanking each other for their help is always, you know, that always goes a long way. All those things we learned in kindergarten, thanking each other. And then following up when things go well or when they don't go well to try to help the whole process.
Thank you so much for your time and information, Drs. Berger and Eichmann. We learned a lot today about the role of healthcare professionals in child welfare cases. So thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. This concludes our podcast with our colleagues at the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh of UPMC. Stay tuned for more episodes in the near future. To learn more about the Pennsylvania Child Welfare Resource Center and to check out our other podcasts, visit us at pacwrc.pitt.edu. Thank you.